There were many things written about halacha during the Holocaust, and I want to add my own emphasis. There were those who tried to prove that the halacha was so problematically and so hard to be discussed that even big rabbonim during the Holocaust decided different decisions, which is not correct. Rebbetzin Farbstein wrote a whole research about it to prove that the rules that Rabbonim used were always the same rules, but just the cases were changed. And this is the reason why we can see from time to time different psakim. It's something that might be the same case, which is not. What I'm trying to say is that once you go over these psakim of halacha during the Holocaust, you see that there is something very interesting. Even though that combining between halachic and machshove, or let's say agode, is, according to the Chassam Sofer in his Akdome called Pituchei Chotam, he wrote that once a poisek does it, it will be considered as kilayim, to combine between haloche and machshove, haloche and philosophy. It doesn't go together. And he says that if this poisek is a manik, so he is a manik bekilayim. That's his words of the Chassam Sofer. When we go over many psakim during the Holocaust, and especially those who were written as part of something like diaries since these days, you can see that in many cases they combined, involved even other explanations, other reasons inside the psak. And sometimes it's even affected the psak, even, which is quite a chiddush to say that. But I'm going to prove it. But I want to say something before everything, just to say, I think that every one of us understands that there is a rule, Al tadun et chavercha ad shetagi limkomo. Hopefully, none of us tagi limkomo. But we have to understand the circumstances that were around these people that pushed them to get into this psak, into this conclusion that they got to. So I'll start with one example where the halacha and the agode are just combined, but the agode or the hashkofe thing did not affect the psak. And that's about mitzvah tefillin. And the question is, the question was discussed by Rav Moshe Yehoshua Aharonson, that was a rabbi in a small town in Poland before the war, called Sanok, and he went with his community almost along the whole way. While going with his community, he wrote a diary, and he wrote in it all the questions that he had during the Holocaust. And the answers he gave. One of these, there is a very interesting story about these papers, which I'm not going to tell now, but the story is that, to make it short, he buried it somewhere in Auschwitz, and like 40 years later, somebody found it and gave it back to him, and they printed it, and today it's a book called Alei Merorot. And he brings the question he was asked when they were in a labor camp nearby Auschwitz, Birkenau, called Buna Monowice. And they asked him, they succeeded to smuggle in to the camp a pair of tefillin. But when they went out to work, it was yet night. When they came back from work, it was already night. And they asked him two questions. A, if there is any inyan to put on tefillin. B, if they are allowed to bench on this tefillin. And he discusses this question and gives the answer. We will start with the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Veha amar Rabba Baravuna, Safek Chashecha, Safek Lo Chashecha, Lo Choletz, Velo Meniach. At the time of Safek Chashecha, not Chashecha, he shouldn't put tefillin, but he doesn't have to take them off. Havadai Chashecha, only if it is Safek Chashecha, he should not take them off. But Vadai Chashecha, he should. Choletz. Perhaps that's a proof that he should not put on tefillin at night. Says the Gemara, Hatam be'erev Shabbat itamar. It speaks about Erev Shabbos, not about a regular night, but about Erev Shabbos. And Shabbos is not Zman tefillin. Asks the Gemara, Maika Savar. What's his opinion? Ika savar laila zman tefillin. Shabbat, nami zman tefillin. Ika savar Shabbat lav zman tefillin. Laila, nami lav zman tefillin. Those two halachas of laila and Shabbos are connected. And continues the Gemara and explains, de mehecha de memata Shabbat, mehatam memaatei lelot. The same pasuk that we have to say you are not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos is the same pasuk that says you are not allowed to put on tefillin at night. Detanya, here's the braisa, v'shamarta et hachuka hazot lemoada miyamim yemima, yamim velo leilot, miyamim velo kol yamim. So the same pasuk that says you are not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos is the same pasuk that says you are not allowed to put on tefillin at night. Yamim yamima. Yamim velo leilot, yamim velo kol hayamim, which means Shabbos not. Prat leShabbatot veYamim tovim, divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So we have here, I'm skipping a few lines, but we have here the first source that says that you are not allowed to put on tefillin at night, and there is a pasuk that says, as well as you are not allowed to put on tefillin on Shabbos, you are not allowed to put on tefillin at night. That's it says that the issue of tefillin at night is the same as Shabbos. That means that if they don't have any time to put on tefillin just at night, they should not put them. It's the same as putting on tefillin on Shabbos. It's not zman tefillin. It's not the time of tefillin. Let's skip to the next paragraph. Ve'amar Avina, haviyativna kamei derav Ashi ve'chashach. He was sitting in front of Rav Ashi, and it became dark. V'hiniach tefillin, and he put on his tefillin. Ve'amri lei. Leshomran kabai lehu mar, and I asked him, "Do you put on the tefillin just to guard them, to put them in a safe place? And this is the reason why you put on your tefillin?" Ve'amar li in, and he said, "Yes, it's just to guard them." V'chazitei ledaatei, and I saw that really what he thought, delav leshomranu bayi. It's not because he wanted to guard them. Kasavar halacha ve'en morin ken. And Rashi explains, kasavar halacha delaila zman tefillin. He hold that Laila is zman tefillin. Ve'en morin ken. Why don't you say to everybody he should put on tefillin at night also? Shema yishkachem ve'yishan bahem. So this is the reason why he said leshomram, I need to guard them. Because he did not want to say beferush, it's mutter to put on tefillin at night. Because people do not know how to guard tefillin when they are sleeping. And who knows what will happen if we have to wash our hands 3 times after we wake up because yadayim mashmeshaniyot, the hands are doing many things while sleeping. So we won't be able to guard ourselves in nekiyut while putting on tefillin if we are sleeping. So this is the reason why we are not allowed to put on tefillin at night. But it's not a real reason. It's also halacha, you are allowed, ve'en morim ken, don't tell it. And the now there is a question, how do we pasken? According to the first reason or according to the second reason? Is it that Laila loves Zman Tefillin, it comes from the Pasuk, or no? We don't relate to the Pasuk says something else, and the real reason is because Shema Yishkach V'Yishan Bahem, this is the real reason, but Laila is Zman Tefillin. What's the nafka mina? In both cases, it's halacha ve'en morim ken, you should not do that. What's the nafka mina? Let's read the two. זמן הנחתם בבוקר, מי שיראה את חברו רגיל עמו קצת בריחוק דלת אמות ויקירנו. אוקיי. אף על גב דקיים עלן, לילה, זמן תפילין. So we see he paskens according to the second reason. לילה, זמן תפילין. אלא שאין מורים כן. היינו, לעניין שאם היו בראשו וחשיכה, אין צריך לחולצם. If it was on his head and it became dark, he shouldn't take them off. No need. He can continue going with them. אבל לכתחילה אין להניחם קודם הזמן. And now comes the הלוכה that is important for us. ואם צריך ללך לדרך, יכול להניחם קודם זמנם בלא ברכה. ולכשיגיע זמנם, ימשמש בהם ויברך. So if he has to go out for a trip or something like this, and he assumes he won't be able to put on the tefillin, he is allowed to put the tefillin at night and to go with them until there will be light, and then yemashmesh bahem, just to move them a little bit and to say the bracha. והרב רבינו פרץ כתב כיוון דקיימלן דלילה זמן תפילין אלא שאין להניחם בלילה משום גזרה שם הישן מי שרוצה לדרך יכול להניחם קודם זמנם ולברך עליהם מיד. And here comes the heter. רב אהרונסון makes all this argument between himself. And he says to these Jews, you are allowed to put on tefillin. And he gives also the explanation we will soon read. But according to all what we read, that the psak goes according to that shita that says, know that tefillin, you should not put tefillin because Laila loves zman tefillin. Laila is zman tefillin. But there is a chashash. He might fall asleep. He won't be able to guard them. In that case, if you are passing according to this reason, so it depends, but maybe in a special case, and there in Buna Monovice it was a special case, you would be allowed to put on and to bench. And we will skip to the next source in Alei Merorot. You have here the whole history of Rav Aharonson in English, but we will read just his psak. Aval benidon didan. In our case, de lo efshar, There is no other option. Bevadai tov gam balaila leachar hasheina kshomed leavodato lehanicham. Deim lochem. Otherwise, yevutal legamre yamim veshanim mimitzvatam veefshar kol yamav. Who knows? If he will not do it every day before he's going to work, who knows? Maybe yamim veshanim. Maybe all his life. Why? Ki lo nir'u kavei ha-chofesh. We didn't see even any spark of freedom. Nothing. V'chashavnu v'amarnu she'avadim niyeh le'olamim. And we, when we were there, we were sure we are going to be slaves forever. So if we will be slaves forever, when will we put on tefillin? Are you going to take this mitzvah out of our life? So that's a real sh'at hadchak. That's even more than a case where a person goes out for a trip. Gam, now he adds another reason. Kileika lemeichash lesheina. No chash that he will fall asleep. Why did we say it's not appropriate to put on tefillin? Because halacha ve'en morim shema yishan, and he won't be able to guard himself benekiyut for this tefillin. Now he says, no way, no way. Ki benafsheinu, it was harmful for us. If we would have slept at those moments when they woke us up at night, before day, im yishan achar tzilzul la'amida b'machane kanoda, as known, if he will sleep, they might kill him. Nobody will fall asleep. In that case, he says, I decided to tell them to put on the tefillin. And now he adds something else. Besides the psak, he wrote something to himself. Vetikatev zot lemazkeret. Just to remember. Mitzvah shemasarnu nafsheinu aleha bebuna Auschwitz. Techev achre rechitza. Right after washing. Hashkem. Beishon laila. Early when it was yet night. Hazman dachuk la'avodah. Hashotrim, the couples, atzim bigzerot shono. They are running around and shouting, giving orders. Lo echad mukeh lo davar. Not only one was beaten at that time for nothing. Po v'sham omdim shurot arukot, like long lines, dochafim et atzmam, pushing themselves. Lo lelechem, not for bread. Velo lekafe, not for coffee. Rak lekayem mitzvat anachat tefillin. Echad omed u'mashgiach. One is standing and pays attention. Shebal yitakev eimi lomar eze tefillah. Rak pasuk rishon shel kriyat shema. Just the first posuk of krishma. Not more than that, because there are a lot waiting for the tefillin. Yachletzem, take them off. Vimserem lechavero. Acher omed al hamishmar. Another one stands and guards li'inatzel ma'gestapo, that the Germans won't enter. B'ma'amad kaze, at that situation, b'ma'amad kaze, at that situation, bi'alti az, I explained then, ha'halacha ve'en morin, the issue of halacha ve'en morin ken, b'derech hegyoni, like in terms of machshove. And here brings it. Yadu ha-ti'ur yom mugmal lezman chirut ve'layla lecheshkat ha-tzarot v'sheibud ha-galut. Like symbolic, day is geula, night is galus. Uvchen ha-halacha hi ki gam bizman cheshkat ha-layl ube-beit avadim she'anu nimtzaim ka'et. Bechol zot anachnu chayavim lekabel ol mitzvot. What is the real halacha? Laila zman tefillin. Even though it's night, even though it's darkness, even though it's sakonas nefoshes, you should know. Laila zman tefillin. It's time to do mitzvahs, even though we are so deep, deep in hell. Aval halacha ve'en morin ken. What does it mean, en morin ken? It's not a psak for everybody. Don't say that. Aval kol echad le'atzmo. Each one for himself. Might be machmer, not for others. Aval el lechayev acherim. Ein morim ki kashe hadavar meod lekabel ol malchuto bizman shehinenu avadim leavadim. That's really so hard to do it. So it's haloche. Aval ein morim ken. Don't tell others. Just tell yourself. If you want to keep it, keep it. Aval beemet ha-halacha laila zman tfilinu u'micheshchat leila tzalmavet. In the deepest, deepest darkness, nikach tikvat chayrut, we will take a hope of freedom me'ot ha-tfilin. Because tfilin are called ot. Ki bechozek yad otzianu Hashem mimitzrayim. We will take this message out of from the tefillin, and we will take it as something like a message for us, even though ve'eved sheiniach tefillin yatzah lechavut. There is a halacha that eved sheiniach tefillin bifnei raboy, and his master did not say anything, yatzah lechavut, because tefillin is a symbol of chayrus. Just bnei choirin are putting on tefillin. Avodim are not putting on film because they are not mechuyev. They are mechuyev b'mitzvahs ke'isho. And isho is not mechuyev because it mitzvahs eseh shazman gromo. But eved sheiniach tefillin bifnei raboy yatzah lechavut. So he takes it again to the symbolic idea that film represents the idea of freedom. Once he puts on this symbol of freedom, yatzah lechavut. And he says, and we did it. We did it. When we were there inside, we did it. So this is the first example, and this example is not example where like philosophy or machshava changed something inside the psak, but just it was involved in it. It was connected with it, but not more than that. I want to continue to the next example. Abbas Aminim. We know that in many cases, Jews in camps succeeded to achieve Abbas Aminim, or, and this was more frequent, part of them. Like a lulav, or an esrog, an old one, and they smuggled in into the camp. And here comes the question, is there any inyan to take arba'as haminim if it's not arba'as haminim, but just, let's say, three or two, or maybe one. Or maybe one. And I want to add something else to the problem or to the conflict. In most cases, the question is also in terms of sakone. It's not only, should I or should I not? The question is, should I put myself into danger, a real danger, to do this mitzvah, which maybe is not a mitzvah at all? And we will deal about this question specifically at the end of the shir. Well, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Menachos says, Shnei Seirei Yom HaKippurim Me'akvim Zeh Et Zeh. You are not able to take one soil without the other. Shnei Kivsei Atzeret Me'akvim Zeh Et Zeh. Ve'arba'a Shebalulav Me'akvim Zeh Et Zeh. There is no value for 3 minim. Just 4. Me'akvim ze et ze. And the tour explains. Ve'elu arba minim me'akvim ze et ze shim chaser lo echad mehem lo yevarech al hanimtzaim biyado. That's it. Now, the Bet Yosef says, כתב הראש בשם הרייבט, שכשם שאמרנו ביבשים שנוטלים אותם לזיכרון באלמה כדי שלא תשתכח תורת לולב, החינמי במקום שיש לו לולב ואין לו אתרוג, אף על פי שמעכבים זה את זה ואין מברכים על הלולב בלא אתרוג, אפילו אחי מצווה ליטול את הלולב לבדו לזיכרון באלמה כדי שלא תשתכח תורת לולב. This is a machlokes rishonim about a sugya in sukkah. That the sugya in sukkah tells us ma'ase bibnei krachim. There were those people who were sitting somewhere shayu morishim lulaveihem livneihem. They were giving the lulav to their children in Yerusha. I heard once somebody spoke about tefillin beYerusha. So I heard it from one of the Gdolim. He asked somebody, he saw a tefillin which were a little bit ruined. And he asked them, why don't you buy a new tefillin? He said, oh, that's a Yerusha which I've got from a grandfather. I got it from his grandfather. So he asked, listen, your suit. You are also going with the suit of your grandfather that got it from his grandfather? So you have to buy something new from time to time, you know. But hayu morishim lulaveim libneim. I don't know. Maybe there were no palm trees there, so it was very, very expensive. I don't know what hayu morishim lulaveim libneim. They were giving in Yerusha the lulav to their children. Now there is a machloikes. Is this lulav a lulav posul? But they were giving their children just shelo tishtakach torat lulav. This is the issue. Or, no. Lulav yavesh, even if it is really, really yavesh. You morishim lulavim livneim. That's a lulav of generation. That's a lulav that yet was in those days of the Kaiser. So, a real old lulav. But maybe, no. A lulav yovesh is kosher bediyovad, but not lechatchila. So now it depends. If you say that lulav yovesh is mamash posul, but there is an idea shelo tishtakeach torat lulav, so the same you will have also if there is no arbat aminim, says the Bet Yosef. If there is no arbat aminim, and you don't know what to do, so כדי שלא תשתכח תורת נטילת ארבעת המינים, you should take three minim, just שלא תשתכח. But if you say that this lulav היבש is really kosher, but just בדיעבד, but really he's kosher, so you cannot prove anything for those people that were taking these ארבעת המינים, because really for them it was a mitzvah. But maybe once you don't have any mitzvah, once you don't have four, you shouldn't do anything. So that's a machloikes. And the Bet Yosef, and we are going to the next source, the Bet Yosef raises another issue that might be related to that question. Katuv ba'agaot asher, I'm reading Bet Yosef Orachaim Tafresh Nun Aleph. כתוב בהגאות אשרי, דעד ארבעה מינים מעכבים זה את זה, דווקא ביום טוב ראשון. אבל ביום טוב שני, אין מעכבים. ואפילו אין לו אתרוג, ייטול שאר המינים ויברך. דדרשינה לקיחת תמה למיעוט החסר, ודרשינה נמי לארבעה מינים שמעכבים זה את זה. הלכך, כי איך היא דלקיחת תמה פוסלת אתרוג חסר דווקא ביום טוב ראשון? החינה מלקיחת המה מעכבת בארבעת המינים דווקא ביום טוב ראשון. The Agos Ashri, these are comments on the Rosh. And he says, the pasuk wherefrom we learn, lekichat ama, that, for example, the esrog should be a whole esrog. There is a story, the Gemara brings it, Rabbi Yochanan matbil ba umevarech ba, which means Rabbi Yochanan used to take the esrog, put it a little bit in honey, taking a bite, and then benching on the esrog. Matbil ba venafik ba. Why? Because he said that it is written ulkachtem. It should be lekach tam. Tam means complete. So it should be lekach tam. But this pasuk is written ביום הראשון, ולקחתם לכם ביום הראשון. Just ביום הראשון is the issue of לקח תם. The second day and after that, no problem of לקיחת תמה. And from the same source, ולקח תם, we learn also you should take the whole ארבעת המינים together. That the לקיחה should be תמה, not only in terms of that the esrog will be complete, but the whole abat aminim should be complete. It should be just abat aminim. So says the Agos Hashri, as well as we say about the fact that the esrog should be complete, it's just the first day and not the other days, so the same should be at the other days also, it will be allowed to take just three or two, and the issue of abat aminim me'akvim ze'etzeh, it won't be me'akev. Let's go to the halacha. And please skip the source of Shut Mekadshei Hashem. I'll come to it very soon. The Shulchan Aruch im Simen Taf Resh Nun Aleph says, Arbat aminim alalu me'akvim ze et ze. Shim chaser lo echad mehem lo yevarech al ashar, aval notlam lezecher be'alma. Lezecher be'alma. And there are here brackets which are related to the Ramah, Bein b'yom rishon, Bein b'shar yamim, which means we are not accepting the svore that creates a distinction between the first day and the other days. Ulekach tam b'yom rishon. We are not accepting that. And the Biur Aloche adds an emphasis. Aval notnam lezecher be'alma, tzarich lizaher, שלא יכוון לשם מצווה. ויש בזה משום בל תגרה. Wow. Now we have a problem. It's not something, you know, voluntarily. Just, you will decide. You want to do it, do it. You don't want to do it, don't do it. No, 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 no. There is something at the other side. Once you will take these abat aminim, but there will be no abat aminim, just three, you are over on the issue of lo tigra. So you should declare, I'm taking these three minim just for one purpose. Shelo tishtakach mitzvat lulav. Just for, I'm not mekayem a mitzvah. Did these Jews think the same? When they were mosa nefesh to achieve a piece of lulav or an old esrog to be mekayim the mitzvah, and they said, "Ah, Baruch Hashem, we were zoche to be mekayim the mitzvah." Did they think about lo tigra, about the problem that the Biur Aloche raises up? Perhaps not. And I want to read few examples. The Baal Adnei Nechoshet, he was a rabbi that studied in Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin, and he knew the Rav from Kozhiklov, the great Amid Chochem from, he was called Hagaon Mikozhiklov, he was one of the rabbis in Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin, and he was murdered during the Holocaust. And he writes, Belublin לא היה אתרוג, ורק אצל מורנו ורבינו הגאון האדיר
רב אריה צבי פרומר, הגאון מקוז'יקלוב, היה אתרוג יבש משנה קודמת. הוא בעצמו עמד כמה שעות עם האתרוג בידו. He was standing few hours with the estrog in his hands. הוא מסר לכל אחד בידו הקדושה ואמר לכל אחד שיברך בלא הזכרת השם. What does it mean, לברך בלא הזכרת השם? It means you are not able to be yotzei, just an estrog. And an old estrog. You are not able to be yotzei. But make the bracha. Is that any type of שלא תשתקח תורת לולב? Isn't there a problem of לא תגרה here? ומאות יהודים או אולי אלפי יהודים עברו על ידו, ולא ידעתי אז כי לא אזכה לראות את היהודי הקדוש הזה הנצמד בקירות ליבי תמיד כל ימי חיי. So many Jews went through him and I didn't know that this is the last time I am going to see him, this holy Jew that I loved him so much. But there is another source. Please skip the one of Shut Mekadshei Hashem to the source of Klei Gola. He brings a wonderful story. Be'erev Sukkot, כשהוסענו לעבודתנו, נעצרנו לפתע תחת אילן ערבה. A miracle. A tree of ערבה. אין לתאר באיזו שמחה קפצנו על המציאה הזאת. So, such a big simcha. We have ערבה. שמחנו שיהיה לנו לכל הפחות אחד מארבעת המינים. החסיד המופלא, הישיש, רב זלמן לייב מרקוביץ', עשה הנענועים בכל ימי החג עמם. He took these arovas and he made the נענועים of הלל. Now listen to this. בצירוף הנסר הגדול כלולב, they had such a big stick, a wooden stick. He took it as a lulav. הגרזן והפטיש, כהדסים, like the hammer and I don't know how you call it, אקס, והיתד המבקעת עצים כאתרוג. Well, he took all these tools that they used to work with. It's almost like the Chassidish story about the Rebbe that made the na'anuim with an horse because he sold the lulav that he had to give the money for a poor person to buy a new horse that died two days beforehand. So for him, this was the lulav, the horse. They had another lulav. A stick of wood, the hammer and all this, and they were making the na'anuim with these things. Hey, what's about lo tigra mimeno? We can't admit ahava mekalkelet et ashura. Such a deep love to mitzvahs, such a deep connection to avodas Hashem, just to do something. Let it be an old esrog. Let it be just one piece of arove. Let it be whatever it will be. But just to be mekayim in any way, to be mekayim the mitzvah. So here we find where the love leaded these Jews to another conclusion. I'm going to relate to it because, you know, it might raise up a question. So, was it really mutter? Really, was it mutter? You're serving Hashem or serving yourselves? You should do what's written in Halacha. And again, we said beforehand, Al tadun et chavercha ad shtagi lemkomo. What do we understand? So let's take the last example because I see that the time is running. Let's take the last example. Dalet, mesirut nefesh letzorch kiyum mitzvat aseh. Now, we know that the Jew should be moser nefesh just for three things. Avaydezore, Giloy Arayes, and Shvichus Domim. These are just three things a Jew should be Mosar Nefesh. We know something else. Once it is Sh'at Hashmad, so a Jew should be Mosar Nefesh for everything. Even for a very simple thing, if they considered it as something important for them and they force you to do it, you should refuse even if it costs you your life. Sh'at Hashmad, a Jew should be Mosar Nefesh for everything. Now we have another issue to deal with. If the time of the Germans during the Holocaust was considered as Sh'at Hashmad, that's a question. If I'll have to say it short, what I have to say long, so at the beginning, there were many poskim that considered it to be Sh'at Hashmad. But later on, they realized that the Germans do not have anything against Judaism. They have a lot against Jews. That's a question of race, not a question of religion. And many Rabbonim changed their mind. But that's another question. We know that once a person should be Mosar Nefesh, so it's on three Averis. Other Averis, he should not. What is if he put himself into a danger where it's not needed, like in a case of a mitzvah which is not three Averis, Avedezor, Gilo Ares, Shvichus Domin. Like, let's say they told him he should shave and he refused. Should he be Mosar Nefesh for that? No. And if he did, here we have the Shach. The Shach brings a machlokes. The Rambam says, Habach pasak ha-Rambam dekol mi shedino la'avor ve'al yareg, the one who should not be Mosar Nefesh, but he did, ve'neherag, he was Mosar Nefesh, ve'lo avar, harei ze mischayev benafsho. He should not do that. It's mitchayev benafsho. He should not give you soul for nothing. You should not. Skip a line. Ubergaot ashri mimariach, reish perekama, katvu, im ratza lachmir al atzmo velearreg, echadekaim al anyavo val yareg, tzarich iyun ishari olo. So the Shach brings something that sounds like machlokes rishonim. If a person is allowed to give his soul for a mitzvah that he shouldn't, he's not mechuyev to give his soul. But this is in case of mitzvat lo ta'aseh. You should not, and they forced him to do. And the question is bigger. What's about mitzvahs eseh? For example, to put on tefillin. The alternative is not to do anything. Sheval taiseh. They are not forcing you to do anything. The one who made the step, the one who made a positive action is you. You decided to put on tefillin. At that moment, when you decided to put on tefillin, you put yourself into a danger. Is it allowed or not? Is it also under the rule that says it's sofek machlokes rishonim or not? Maybe here it's even more prohibited. Because in a case they are forcing you to do something, maybe you are allowed. But to put yourself voluntarily, like, because your own free will, to put yourself into a danger, maybe not. The Ramah says, ודווקא אם רוצים להעבירו במצוות לא תעשה, אבל אם גזרו גזרה שלא לקיים מצוות עשה, if they said not to be מקיים מצוות עשה, for example, תפילין, אין צריך לקיימו ושיהרג. He should not. מיהו? Exception. אם השעה צריכה לכך ורוצה להרג ולקיימו, הרשות בידו. השעה צריכה לכך. What does it mean? השעה צריכה לכך.
So the explanation of השעה צריכה לכך means, if there is a situation that this Jew wants to show something to others, to deliver a message, to say, no, brothers, we have to keep on keeping the mitzvahs, and he wants to be mechazek others, and therefore he wants to give his nefesh, he is allowed to. But not in any case. Not in any case. Just if hasha'a tzricha lechach. And here comes the story of Shut Mekadshe Hashem. I'm going to finish with it. And the story is that at the last Rosh Hashanah in Auschwitz, few days before Rosh Hashanah, the Germans discovered that there were many young people that went through the selection and survived. They decided to find all these young people and to kill them. They put a stick somewhere in the camp in a certain height, and they took all the young people to go under this stick and to measure if they are old enough or not according to that criterion. At that time they caught something like 1200 young people. They put them in a barrack. It was a few days before Rosh Hashanah. Rav Maizlish, the one who wrote Shut Mekadshe Hashem, he was a Rebbe in Hungary before the war, and after that, I think he moved into Chicago, and he wrote this Shut Mekadshe Hashem, all the Shailas and Shuvas that he had with Gdoile Yisrael that were killed during the Holocaust. He collected their answers and created Shut Mekadshe Hashem. And there is a huge introduction, which is his own biography at the beginning of this book. And he says that they succeeded to smuggle in a shofar into the camp. And at that Rosh Hashanah, he went through the barracks, just giving money to the couples, to the block eltestes, those who were keeping the blocks, and entering and just blowing the shofar to hundreds of Jews. And his son was with him, and his son says to him, you should not put yourself into a danger for that. He says, no, it's not so dangerous, and you know what's our life worth, so let's do a mitzvah. Finally, these children that were inside this barrack, they heard that somewhere somebody is whistling the shofar. They started crying, they want to hear a shofar, the last shofar in their life. But the barrack was closed, so they made something like an agreement with a block elteste that guarded this barrack, and he allowed him to enter. But he said to him, listen, at that moment that the Germans will appear, I'm closing the door, you won't be able to run. Think about that. His son holds him at the arm and says to him, father, I don't want to stay alone. Don't leave me alone like this. You are putting yourself into a danger. You are not allowed to, according to the halacha. He says to him, according to the halacha, you are not allowed to. For what? Mitzvah says it. You are not allowed to. And he describes his dilemma. He describes this dilemma. He says,
From one side he hears his son, by the other side he hears the shouting from that barrack, shouting from inside, "We want to hear the shofar." And he decides to enter the barrack. And he puts his son on the main road and says to him, "Once you see the cars of the Germans coming, run to me and tell me to escape." And he finishes his dealing with this question with the last lines in your sheets. והאמת ניתן לכתוב כי ההחלטה הנ"ל לא היה מתאים עם ההלכה. This decision was not according to the halacha. כי ידעתי היטב, because I knew as well, כי על פי ההלכה אין להכניס עצמו אף לספק ספקה שבסכנה מכוח מצוות תקיעת שופר. You should not put yourself into a fake ספקה of danger because of mitzvah shofar. אכן, עיקר החלטתי באותו רגע היה, my decision was at that moment, מחמת שבין כך ובין כך לא הייתי מחזק הרבה מהחיות שלי. In any case, I didn't relate to my life any significance. כי מי הוא זה שיכול לדע באושוויץ כמה ימים יש לו לחיות? Who could know? So, my life are not worth anything in any case. שרי ראינו בעינינו, we saw in our eyes, שבכל יום ויום נהרגים ונשרפים אחינו בית ישראל, אלפים ורבבות, או נופלים בשדה מתוך עבודה קשה, מתים כאמיר אחר הקוצר. לא היה שום חשיבות כל החייס שלנו. זה היה עיקר הסיבה להחלטתי הנ"ל. Now he ends. אף שידעתי שבאמת גם סברה זו אין לו שום מקור בהלכה. Just to say one thing. This problem was discussed by many Gdoilim after the Holocaust. And from a distance they said, we should understand. We are asking the question, was it mutter or not? And we have to realize that for them, being mekayim the mitzvah was hatzolas nefoshes. For them, it was a question of pikuach nefesh. Being mekayim the mitzvah. If such a Jew had the opportunity at that morning to put on tefillin, to come and ask him, is it mutter or not? Because of a question of pikuach nefesh, it's not logical. He would have told you, listen, I've got so much chiyus from the fact that I couldn't be mekayim a mitzvah that morning. And you are talking to me about pikuach nefesh. This is my pikuach nefesh. And you know, it sounds today when we are sitting here, you know, in a good shape, so healthy and so happy, it sounds so from far and from a distance, but that situation that these Jews were in, for them, not to be mekayim was a pikuach nefesh. To be mekayim was a piece of life. Tadarba.